Welcome to the Sagebrush Tree. Stories of Western adventure from the frontier to the Yukon. I'm Mardell, reading The Virginian by Owen Wister. Chapter 24, A Letter with a Moral. The letter which the Virginian wrote to Molly Wood was, as has been stated, the first that he had ever addressed to her. I think perhaps he may have been a little shy as to his skill in the epistolary art, a little anxious lest any sustained production from his pen might contain blunders that would too staringly remind her of his scant learning. He could turn off a business communication about steers or stock cars, or any other of the subjects involved in his profession, with a brevity and a clearness that led the judge to confide 3/4 of such correspondence to his foreman. "Write to the 76 outfit," the judge would say, "and tell them my wagon cannot start for the roundup until," etc., or, "Write to Cheyenne and say that if they will hold a meeting next Monday week, I will," etc. And then the Virginian would write such communications with ease. But his first message to his lady was scarcely written with ease. It must be classed, I think, among those productions which are styled literary efforts. It was completed in pencil before it was copied in ink, and that first draft of it in pencil was well nigh illegible with erasures and amendments. The state of mind of the writer during its composition may be gathered without further description on my part from a slight interruption which occurred in the middle. The door opened, and Scipio put his head in. "You coming to dinner?" he inquired. "You go to hell," replied the Virginian. "My jinx," said Scipio quietly, and he shut the door without further observation. To tell the truth, I doubt if this letter would ever have been undertaken, far less completed and dispatched, had not the lover's heart been wrung with disappointment. All winter he had looked to that day when he should knock at the girl's door and hear her voice bid him come in. All winter long he had been choosing the ride he would take her. He had imagined a sunny afternoon, a hidden grove, a sheltering cleft of rock, a running spring, and some words of his that should conquer her at last and leave his lips upon hers. And with this controlled fire pent up within him, he had counted the days, scratching them off his calendar with a dig each night that once or twice snapped the pen. Then, when the trail stood open, this meeting was deferred, put off for indefinite days or weeks. He could not tell how long. So, gripping his pencil and tracing heavy words, he gave himself what consolation he could by writing her. The letter, duly stamped and addressed to Bear Creek, set forth upon its travels, and these were devious and long. When it reached its destination, it was some 20 days old. It had gone by private hand at the outset, taken the stagecoach at a waypoint, become late in that stagecoach, reached a point of transfer, and waited there for the postmaster to begin, continue, end, and recover from a game of poker mingled with whiskey. Then it once more proceeded, was dropped at the right waypoint, and carried by private hand to Bear Creek. The experience of this letter, however, was not at all remarkable at that time in Wyoming. Molly Wood looked at the envelope. She had never before seen the Virginian's handwriting. She knew it instantly. She closed her door and sat down to read it with a beating heart. Sunk Creek Ranch, May 5th, 1880. "My dear Miss Wood, I'm sorry about this. My plan was different. It was to get over for a ride with you about now or sooner. This year's spring is early. The snow is off the flats this side of the range, and where the sun gets a chance to hit the earth strong all day, it is green and has flowers, too, a good many. You can see them bob and mix together in the wind. The quaking asps, down low on the south side, are in small leaf and will soon be twinkling like the flowers do now. I had planned to take a look at this with you, and that was a better plan than what I have got to do. The water is high, but I could have got over, and as for the snow on top of the mountain, a man told me nobody could cross it for a week yet, because he had just done it himself. Was he not a funny man? You ought to see how the birds have streamed across the sky while spring was coming. But you have seen them on your side of the mountain. But I can't come now, Miss Wood. There is a lot for me to do that has to be done, and Judge Henry needs more than two eyes just now. I could not think much of myself if I left him for my own wishes. But the days will be warmer when I come. We will not have to quit by 5, and we can get off and sit, too. We could not sit now unless for a very short while. If I know when I can come, I will try to let you know, but I think it will be this way. I think you will just see me coming, for I have things to do of an unsure nature, and a good number of such. Do not believe reports about Indians. They're started by editors to keep the soldiers in the country. The friends of the editors get the hay and beef contracts. Indians do not come to settled parts like Bear Creek. It's all editors and politicians. Nothing has happened worth telling you. I've read that play Othello. No man should write down such a thing. Do you know if it is true? I have seen one worse affair down in Arizona. He killed his little child as well as his wife. But such things should not be put down in fine language for the public. I've read Romeo and Juliet. That is beautiful language, but Romeo is no man. I like his friend Mercutio that gets killed. He is a man. If he'd got Juliet, there would have been no foolishness and trouble. Well, Miss Wood, I would like to see you today. Do you know what I think Monty would do if I rode him out and let the rain slack? He'd come straight to your gate, for he is a horse of great judgment. That's the first word he has misspelled, said Molly. I suppose you're sitting with Georgie Taylor and those children right now. Then Georgie will get old enough to help his father, but Uncle Huey's twins will be ready for you about then, and the supply will keep coming from all quarters, all sizes, for you to say big A to little A to them. There's no news here, only calves and cows, and the hens are laying now, which does always seem news to a hen every time she does it. Did I ever tell you about a hen, Emily, we had here? She was venturesome to an extent. I have not seen in other hens, only she had poor judgment and would make no family ties. She would keep trying to get interest in the ties of others, taking charge of little chicks and bantams and turkeys and puppies one time. And she thought almost anything was an egg. I'll tell you about her sometime. She died without family ties one day while I was building a house for her to teach school in. The outrageous wretch! Cried Molly, and her cheeks turned deep pink as she sat alone with her lover's letter. I'm coming the first day I'm free. I will be 100 miles from you most of the time when I'm not more. But I will ride 100 miles for 1 hour, and Monty's up to that. After never seeing you for so long, I will make 1 hour do if I have to. Here is a flower I've just been out and picked. I have kissed it now. That is the best I can do yet. Molly laid the letter in her lap and looked at the flower. Then suddenly she jumped up and pressed it to her lips. And after a long moment, held it away from her. No, she said. No, no, no. She sat down. It was some time before she finished the letter. Then once more she got up and put on her hat. Mrs. Taylor wondered where the girl could be walking so fast. But she was not walking anywhere. And in half an hour she returned, rosy with her swift exercise, but with a spirit as perturbed as when she had set out. Next morning at 6, when she looked out of her window, there was Monty tied to the tailor's gate. Ah, could he have come the day before? could she have found him when she returned from that swift walk of hers? Join me next week on the Sagebrush Trail for more exciting Western adventure in The Virginian by Owen Wister.